kaboom.
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic, a sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
That it does, as we are back at it in the Magic Podcast Box, not to be confused with the Magic Radio Box, as it is a yet another edition of the Fifth Hour. As you know by now, because you're listening live, you can hear the Fifth Hour wherever you get podcasts. It's available there, and we point out every week that the reason we do the Fifth Hour is because 4 hours are not enough, but really it's just because management wants us to do the Fifth Hour. With me, Ben Maller, and the most popular man in the Maller militia these days, David Gascon. I got to tell you, Gascon, more people want to talk about your narcissistic ways than anything else. It is overwhelming. The questions I get about you and when I'm going to fire your ass are fascinating.
You can't fire somebody that's not getting paid.
But well, man,
you got some knee-deep losers amongst the Maller militia. You got some winners, you got some overachievers, and then you got some bona fide... What's the word? Plankton?
Plankton. Yeah, yeah, that's the word. That's a wonderful word.
Yeah, I think we can use that.
Well, at least you finally figured out that I sound louder than you, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I'm supposed to be louder than you. When I used to be an intern for Lee Hacksaw Hamilton in San Diego, and Hacksaw would take a lot of phone calls. He was the afternoon drive star, and they had a piece of equipment, which is one of the great pieces of equipment of all the time. We don't have it at Fox Sports Radio, where... He would get into these fights with like a Raider fan or something like that, right? They get into screaming matches.
Yeah.
And Hacksaw had, at the old Mighty 690, he had like a gas pedal kind of thing. And if he really got into it and really got heated in a conversation with the other caller, he would press his foot on the gas pedal and it would lower the volume of the caller. So he could always scream over the call. It was a little magic trick that they had. And it was awesome. It was great. And we don't have that. Like, all we can do when we get into a fight with a caller is I can, like, put them on hold. That's about it.
You can dump them, though.
I would need the engineer to be paying attention, which usually doesn't happen. That's the problem. So a good engineer will know, hey, let me fade this guy down a little bit. But that usually doesn't happen. And so I just kind of go with it. And that's how that works.
Oh, well, fair enough. Well, I would appreciate some of the positive tweets and messages that you get regarding me.
When I get them, I will put them on the air. So far, I'm going page down here, page down, page down. It's a lot of, he's irresponsible. He's always
irresponsible. You're the guy that just showed up 40 minutes late to your own fucking podcast.
No.
45 minutes late to your own podcast.
I don't have anything
else to do today, and I had to sit and wait for you for 45 minutes.
You have nothing
minutes.
Else going on. Let me tell you, Mr. Deep Thinker over there, okay? The podcast starts when Maller shows up.
Yeah, no kidding.
Otherwise, you would have done the podcast already and said, well, you're late. I'm just going to start without you. But you didn't do that. You could have started without me and done the first 30 minutes, and then I could have come in here and done the rest of it. But you had no contingency plan. That's a bad job by you.
That's not
true.
See,
that shows you that the listeners are right here, that you were irresponsible.
Because a good
podcaster says, all right, disaster preparedness. I am ready.
Well, a ship does not set sail without its captain. So I think...
Oh, so you're admitting I'm the captain. Well, that's good. Finally, that's a baby step. You're admitting now that I am El Capitan. And thank you for that.
Well, we got to give you at least some kind of accolades for the job not well done today.
That's a fine job. It's a marvelous job. And I think I should win a Purple Heart because I've been ill all week.
Oh, what the fuck are you talking about?
And here I am.
I was sick last week, and then you come in here bitching about you got to show some grit. You got to show some perseverance.
That's right. I'm here, dumb. I am here doing the podcast, making it sound beautiful. All right, is what I am doing here. I am putting bells and whistles on the podcast. Like the Houston Astros did during games is what I'm doing.
Well, speaking of bells, what do we got on the menu today?
All right, we have the party planner, Sleepless in Seattle. We will also have finger food. Study this. and grab bag and don't stick to sports stories of the week. Those are all things coming up here on this edition of the Fifth Hour. That's on the menu. So we'll start with the party planner. That's a big weekend. As you listen to this podcast, depending on when you listen to this podcast, the idiocy, the ludicrousness will be taking place. It is going to be quite the hootenanny. This weekend is the weekend of the annual Maller Ugly Sweater Party, a much talked about event among the Maller Militia. And it has created a mythical kind of cloud around this event with many former colleagues of Fox Sports Radio past and my radio career in the past showing up for debauchery and excess. And it's just going to be wonderful. It's just going to be absolutely great. And I look forward to it. It's just this weekend, Gasker.
I'm excited about it. I think it's a little bit of a trek going from where we were at on the west side of town to Arizona, but last year was fun. Year before that was pretty fun as well. I'm always curious to know who the straggler is. There's always that one guy that's late to the party and then stays obnoxiously late. You've had one guy in particular, a former colleague here, that usually stays until the good morning of like 1 or 2 o'clock drinking.
Well, you're talking about Artie is what you're talking about.
I am.
You're afraid to name him. I'm not afraid to name Artie. Artie is a great friend of mine. I've worked with him for years, not a long time, but worked in local radio with Artie, worked at Fox Sports Radio. He's over at NBC now, but he's a good friend. And let me tell you something, life of the party. Once Artie shows up, Artie pregames. You know you're a professional party person when you pregame.
Yeah.
I don't pregame. I don't. He pregames.
Yeah, I was asking the better half of you what I should bring for a cocktail for you, but she said you really have a – she put it eloquently. She said you have an appetite of a teenager, and you have a palate of a teenager as well. So
– wow.
It's
kind of rude of her to say that.
I had some ideas of what I was going to bring, and now I got to, I guess, regress back to something.
I'm a simple man. I try to tell you that. You know, I'm a man of the people. This is the difference between me and you. You're a narcissist, all right? Everyone knows that. And you're kind of pompous and arrogant, west side of L.A. kind of guy. Yeah, you got that attitude. I'm the working class guy. I am the blue collar, lunch pail guy, and I'm a very simple man, is what I am.
Well,
and I have simple needs and wants and all that stuff, but you wouldn't understand that because you're with hanging out with intellectuals and all that stuff. But I'm a factory worker, is what I am. I'm tough minded, gritty, overachieving, and all that. So that's what I am. I'm not hanging out in some cubicle somewhere. I'm not that kind of guy.
Sounds like you're an employee for Nike in those sweatshops back in Asia, making $300 shoes for LeBron James and getting paid $1.25 a day.
Well, that's you right there living up to your arrogant, pompous, obnoxious reputation is what you're doing right
there.
That's
how you put it. I mean, just being, you know, rolling the collar up and you know, showing that true passion, the hard hat, the lunch pail.
You got to get some dirt under your fingernails. That's what you got to do. It's very important there.
Whatever. Yeah. I'm looking forward to this party.
It's going to be fun. I will say, of everyone that goes to the party, you treat this more like a dating event than anything else. Most people are just kind of there having fun, but Gascon's on the prowl when he's at this party, man. He's looking around. He's observing. He's seeing what's available and who's interested, and he's rotating. He's going 360 degrees all over the room.
I'd like to call it engaged. Part of the reason for that is because most of the people that we work with stay in a little bubble where they don't really talk to anyone else outside of said bubble, and your wife's friends are in the same kind of nature as well. Married, kids, bad marriage, getting divorced, separated. So they just talk about their problems. So I like to kind of circulate throughout the room. Work the room a little bit, Ben Mel. I know you didn't do that back in the day in your 20s and 30s or even your 40s. Something I like to do, like to be in and out of conversations, kind of see what's going on, say hi to everybody, you know, touch everybody at one time or another, as opposed to guys like Tom Looney, who will show up and not say goodbye to anybody as he departs into the good night.
Yeah, well Looney believes in the And I think this is actually right. I've tried to convince my wife of this because what Looney does is right. I'm very excited to see Looney. I've not seen Looney in a long time since he got whacked by the company, and I love the guy.
Well, we saw him at dinner.
Well, that's what the last time I saw him, though. It's been that's a while ago.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't we text all the time, but I don't, you know, in physical presence, I don't see him. So, but the great thing about Looney is when he shows up, it's like bells. He has red carpet rolling out, you know, and a DJ like James Harden showing up to an NBA game.
Yeah.
And he wants everyone to say, Looney's arrived, you know, and it's like he has the, you know, in those movies about the king, and they have this the person announcing the king's about to arrive,
yeah.
and that's Looney when he shows up. And then when he leaves, you're like, hey, where's Looney? He never says goodbye to anybody. He just gets out. And that's the way to do it, because like when I go to family functions with my wife, it's an extra half hour of saying goodbye to everybody at the end. You know what I'm saying? I don't mind saying goodbye to him, but it's like you have to say goodbye, and it's like it tacks on an extra half hour where we just like slid out the back door and be like, where'd they go? I don't know where they went.
Yeah.
No one would mind.
I think that's best executed too, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that you can execute that to perfection at weddings and at funerals. Because you never really want to say goodbye to anybody at a funeral, and usually at a wedding or wedding reception.
Yeah.
You're having a couple of drinks, and usually after that, it's whatever you may be doing if you got a partner with you. So those are two legit reasons to bow out of a festival, if I might say, as opposed to a, I don't want to say this is a company party because it's not, but.
No, it's not a company party. There'll be no management people there, so you don't have to worry about that. I know you don't like management, so you don't have to worry about running into any of them. They will not be at the particular party. And I don't know who's going to show up. You know, it's one of those things. It's kind of like when I go out and meet and greet people when I do these stupid little Mallard Militia events because we invited a bunch of people, but I don't know. Usually it's the same people that show up every year. And there's like a couple other people that will, out of curiosity, show up. But I invited a few new people this year, so we'll see who shows up. Marlins man was invited, but unfortunately he's had some health problems, so he will not be attending. I thought that would be kind of funny if me and my buddy Marlins man hung out, you know, and everyone could take pictures of him in his Marlins jersey, and it would be good. But unfortunately, he can't make it, so that's not going to happen. And yeah, I think the biggest celebrity I think will be Lee Klein, the Prince of Darkness,
ugh,
who will be making his yearly sojourn to show up and make offensive jokes to as many people as he can make. Which you appreciate. You like that.
I do. I think Coop is the only guy that kind of treads that deep end of the pool on your show with the dark side of jokes. And so I appreciate that. And I look forward to a lengthy conversation with Lee. Because the last time we got together for tacos, you kind of broke up that party as we were getting knee deep into some fun with his stories and some of the stuff that you guys used to do back in the day.
Me and Lee, man, back in the old days, we could get away with bloody murder back then in the early days of radio. Early days for me of radio. But we had a great time. We used to hang out. You know, the Clippers were terrible in the 90s, and I covered the team for the Mighty 690. And we would hang out at the sports arena, get there at like 4:30 in the afternoon. And after games would end about 10 o'clock. We do a post game and just hang out in the parking lot. You know, we would play football or whatever, just kind of chill out and, live in the life, go get food or whatever, live in the life, bachelor life and all that for years with a morbid Clipper team. But as far as the party, just to put the bow on the party, we'll have the post game show next week. That'll be the post game show. I know you're excited about that. Mm. And it's kind of like junior high school prom because my wife invites many more people than I invite.
Yeah.
Because I don't get along with very many people. So my wife invites most of her, you know, friends. Everyone loves my wife. So it's like junior high school prom. There's like a Mike Tyson fight against Franz Botha. There's an outdated reference. There's like a point of demarcation, and there's like a line, and you can't cross the line. Don't cross the line. As they say, and then that's usually what happens, and everyone's kind of staring at each other, and yeah. So
that's where I come in. That's why I like circulating around the room because you don't know these people, and I think it's a lot of fun. You don't want to talk to the same.
Well, you should know them because you've been coming every year and harassing them, so you should know them by
I've
now.
I've come
so, you know,
twice. So it
doesn't change that much.
I think a little bit older, so you want to go a little younger. It's all good.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Wow. All right. Sleepless in Seattle. We have the proverbial and regular, what's the word I'm looking for here? The demanded Maller Militia meet and greet update, which is coming up later in December. This podcast is for super fans of the show, the top 1% of the Maller Militia. It's our obligatory Maller Man March update. It's coming at the end of December. Now, this is really for our guys in Seattle, in the Seattle area, but it really could be anybody. People have been emailing me from Vancouver, and there's one guy who's been listening for years in Vancouver who's thinking about driving down. If you're anywhere in Washington State, I don't recommend driving far, but some people said they're thinking about making a weekend out of it and coming and hanging out in Seattle. I don't know how entertaining I'm going to be, but it'd be nice to meet you if you do show up there. It's not a sanctioned event. This is not some event through KJR, the home of the Ben Maller Show in Seattle, or Fox Sports Radio. They want nothing to do with it. So, and I don't blame them. So this is just me hanging out with the people, pressing the flesh, having a good time, telling stories and that kind of stuff. And we have our senior Maller Militia, Maller Man March guy, Jay Scoop, who's been working overtime. He's already found a restaurant to hang out with everybody December 28th. And I don't think I'm allowed to say the name of the restaurant yet because for other reasons. But we know the name. It looks great. I looked at the menu. It looks awesome. It's not that far away from the Seahawks Stadium there. So everything's right next to each other there in Seattle. So that'll be on Saturday night about 7:30 in Seattle. Me hanging out with like Jay Scoop and Christina Ed from Spokane. Maybe JJ and Renton will show up. Maybe Dre from Seattle will be there. And Lee from Seattle, some of the guys that have been supporting the show over the years. So we'll do that on Saturday night. You're just going to hang out for a couple hours. Why not? And then on Sunday, the 29th, at roughly 10:30 in the morning, Gascon, the Maller Man March begins. And this is probably at least a one-mile march through the rain-soaked streets of Seattle as we will lead our way with our fearless leader, Ed from Spokane, on his bullhorn, chanting slogans to people to listen to the show, and we'll have signs, and it's going to be an amazing thing. It's really like a religious revival is what it's going to be for the Maller Militia. And so we're going to march all the way down about a mile from some hotel in Seattle, all the way down to the stadium, and then we'll go in and watch the game.
I'm looking forward to it, especially because that game, if everything stays as is, that game could mean either a 1 or 2 seed in the NFC and, of course, home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah, it's got the chance of being an awesome night. And by the way, if you want more information on that, instead of contacting me, I'm going to give you and I'm going to give out our friend Jay Scoop's information. Now, you can contact me. I might or might not get back to you. But Jay Scoop says, hey, bring it on. Send me messages. I'll tell everyone and he wants to show up. Anybody that emails me if has questions, you can do that. It's Jesse, JesseCrean, and that is the Twitter account, at Jesse and then Crean, Crean, I believe is the name. But you message him, and he has an email, which is just jesse.crean@gmail.com, and he said, hey, give that out if people want to kind of hang out so we get an idea of how many people are planning on attending. As though I think I told Jay Scoop that I've done these things in Boston and Pittsburgh and in Buffalo and different random places, Kansas City, and usually there's a lot more people that say they're going to do it, and then when they actually have to show up, my wife had me, I have something I have to do, or crap happens. But we'll see what happens this week. I know we've got a number of people that have already RSVP'd, so it's going to be fun. And that's at the end of December. Again, December 28th, December 29th. So we got a couple of weeks, roughly, give or take, a little less than that, before this begins.
Now, what are you flying up? Are you flying like Delta, United, American? I know you're
No. When you fly to Seattle, you fly Alaskan Airlines. Ah. That's the airline. That's a life hack from Jay Scoop there. You fly Alaskan Airlines because that is a hub of Alaskan Airlines, and there's tons of flights to choose from.
Very bougie of you. I assume you're flying out of LAX, so it's...
Of course, yes.
All right, very, very bougie of you.
I'll be driving 7 hours to get to the airport, so, and then I have to, it's a short flight from LA to Seattle.
And then you're staying in downtown Seattle, too, right? 4-star hotel?
I'm staying at a hotel not far from the stadium. So
king size bed, probably some Wi-Fi in there. Yeah.
Well, I'm assuming there'll be some Wi-Fi. I mean, you're not that savvy. But back in the old days in the hotel game, they originally hotel signs to get people to stay there would say color television. then they shifted to HBO or cable television, right?
Yeah.
Now. A savvy hotel, people don't care about television anymore. It's all about Wi-Fi and free Wi-Fi, right?
Well, yeah, especially in Las Vegas, because in Las Vegas, for people that don't know, they charge you what's called a quote-unquote resort fee, and it's usually anywhere from $15 to $25, and that pays for the gym, which most people don't use when they go to Vegas, Wi-Fi, the telephone, cable... and then I think housekeeping too. And then on top of that, they charge you for parking. If you want to use the parking lot, you drive out there. So yeah, there's spots in Vegas that really jam you up now with that resort fee that they quote unquote use.
Well, I love Vegas, but they started charging for parking, and you can blame the National Hockey League for that. And that arena, when the Vegas Golden Knights started, I was talking to somebody that works at one of the casinos there and explained the whole thing out to me that they were worried that to make money as a professional sports team, one of the big things you make money from is parking.
Yeah.
And in Vegas, if you want to go to the game, the arena is right behind the New York Hotel Casino.
Yeah.
And you can just park anywhere and just walk over. You don't have to park in a designated lot for the arena. So they were very concerned about the fact that people were just going to park at every hotel in Vegas and walk over and they didn't make no money from parking. Well, so they around the time the team started, they started putting charges at all the hotels in that area of the strip. Like if you go to Old Vegas, which I like because that's where the degenerates really are. Fremont Street.
Fremont, yeah.
Parking there is some pay parking, but there's also some free parking, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so you got that also. So you got both things there. But anyway, so that's the deal with that.
Well, I'm looking forward to this. I want to see Christmas party will be fun, but then you go to the Pacific Northwest to end the 2019 football season with a divisional round matchup with Seattle and obviously San Francisco. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm curious to see how many people show up.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. And I'm also fired up because of the game. Like this, I hope these guys don't fuck it up. But Seattle and the 49ers, that could be like the first playoff game, right? Because the winner would have a bye, conceivably, and the loser would have to start out next weekend, the weekend after that, on wild card weekend. So it cranks it up. It ratchets it up. That's the right word, ratchet.
And for all intents and purposes, that team, well, both teams have at least 10 wins already. San Francisco's got 11. But if things play out the way they are, you could go to Philadelphia or Dallas, and there's no guarantee that those teams are at 9-7. They could be 8-8 or 7-9.
Yeah, like, I mean, you should be able to beat the wild card opponent, but it's every extra game you play, you're putting more players at risk and you're thinning the herd, as they say. And the injuries in the NFL are continuous, unrelenting, and never ending, I think.
That's
right?
True. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
All right, finger foods is next. And to go or not to go, and I received an invitation from our fine, fearless leader, Scott Shapiro. I normally don't check my work email because I just don't. Corporate email, I never check it. They have to email me to check my corporate email. In fact, I hadn't checked my email in so long, my password expired, and it had been so long that they wouldn't even issue me a new... There's like a website you go to get a new password.
Yeah.
But it had taken so long that they would not even give me a new password. So I had to email someone to get a new password. That's how long I had not logged into the company email system. But anyway, so they send out these invitations to the holiday party, which used to be the gold standard. It was the yardstick to all social events back in the day, the Premier Radio Network's holiday party. Before you were around, Gascon, let me tell you something. We used to hang out at hotels in Beverly Hills. And I remember we'd have, it was like a black tie affair. We'd have amazing food and drinks, and it was just awesome.
Yeah.
And they'd fly in all the big Premier radio hosts in those days. Art Bell would be there, the legendary overnight host. Rush Limbaugh, Dr. Laura, the big radio star at that time. Matt Drudge had a show at the Premier Networks. They flew him in. And everyone would just hang out, drink, and eat, and be merry, and get all dolled up and dressed up, and sparing no expense. It was an amazing night, and be celebrities like Bruce Willis. I remember one time we were at one of the hotels in Beverly Hills, and Bruce Willis and a couple of other people, these old Hollywood stars, were hanging out in the bar drinking. And then that when we had the recession in like 08, 09, that area. I think it was 08. That was the end of it. That was it. No more gala parties, and the balloon had popped. And that's also the time I said, I'm not going to the holiday party anymore. That's it. Because I have such fond memories of those parties. It's some of the greatest social events I've been at. But I'm thinking about going this year to the Premier Radio Network's holiday party, which is a scaled-down event.
Yeah.
It's a scaled down. It's more like a happy hour type thing now.
It would be like the equivalent of going to a Ruth Chris or like a Mastro's
or any kind of
steakhouse, and then all of a sudden you kick it all the way back and you go to Outback. That's what the equivalent of this is.
Well, Outback is not bad. It's fine.
It's fine.
I like the Bloomin' Onion.
Yeah.
Again,
I do too.
Pompous, arrogant, elitist.
I'm just comparing it so people get an idea of how lavish these parties were that you went to.
Yeah, they were amazing.
You weren't the only one that told me about this. There were guys that would sing the praise of these holiday parties back in the day. Like,
oh, they were an amazing thing. And it was just unbelievable. Everyone, it was great for morale at the company. Everyone was like, wow,
morale.
This is an amazing place to work, with these amazing parties. And you get to meet all these big, if you're a radio nerd like myself, meet legends of radio. And that was my Jim Rome used to show up all the time too. That he was the big star.
Yeah, it's just the overall engagement, right, of fellow employees that you don't necessarily work with. I know you don't talk to people on the fourth or third floor because the hours don't permit that, so it's always nice to engage with those people that have an impact on your daily work. But now you can see exactly what they do, see them outside of their cubicle or their office, and talk to them and get to know them a little bit and have a cocktail or two, and then be on your merry way. That's always nice. Like you said, it's good for company morale.
It is. And so I'm thinking about showing up, but I don't know. It's I got to deal with rush hour. I mean, the positives are there's a good chance I'll get some FaceTime with some very powerful people at the Premier Radio Networks who are very nice, and I can suck up to them. There'll be free food. I'm told there'll be gifts. I like gifts. Yeah. I like free food. The negatives are a very long drive in rush hour Los Angeles traffic, which I generally avoid because of the schedule that I have. And I would be, as Shaquille O'Neal would say, I'd be spending my personal time on company time, meaning those things, the streams would cross. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but I'm not getting paid to attend. I choose to go, and it's pro bono. So.
Well, it's the equivalent of doing a podcast every Thursday for a couple hours. It is. That's exactly what it is.
So it'll be a game time decision. I'm day to day on this. Today I'm thinking about going, because it'll be hotter than Popeye's grease. I'm thinking about going. But then I might decide, I think there's a polar vortex and I just don't want to get out of bed.
You're a very fair weather employee, colleague. Depending on which way the wind's blowing, what kind of mood?
Fair weather. I don't know about that. I'm loyal. I've worked at the company for 20 years. They got rid of me. I didn't get rid of them.
Huh.
I'm like my favorite infomercial of all time, Ron Popeil. Set it and forget it. Have me do the show. Set it, forget it. I'll take no time off until December. I'll do every show I can, unless they chop my gallbladder out of me, and then I'll have to miss a week. But other than that, I'm good to go. I'm the Showtime rotisserie of the radio world, right? As Ron Popeil said, set it and forget it.
Well, so if you go to this company party, would you host your show at night?
No. No, I would not. I would not. Well, there you go. I would take a day. So I'm thinking about doing it.
Send it and forget it. All of a sudden, he's not going to host a show at night if he goes to the company party.
Well, I don't know if you know this, guest gun, but I have 11. There's 11 holiday days that I have accrued over the course of the 2019 season. That means 11 days of me working on holidays when other people not working, and I get to cash all my chips in. And I have to cash them in because if I don't cash my chips in, then I don't get to carry those over. So that would be a rookie mistake. I am not going to make a rookie mistake.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
You would, but I am not.
No, I don't know what holidays are. I don't know what paid holidays are. I don't know what PTO is.
Here we go. Let me get my violin out. Here. This
I don't know
is,
what sick days
woe
are.
Is me playing the victim card.
It's not a victim. I'm just identifying those things. You said
you're
I don't know
what
they
playing the
are.
Victim. You have a persecution complex.
Not at
is what
all.
You have. Victim mentality. It's everyone's fault.
It's profitable for some people.
Defeatist attitude.
I can be Times Person of the Year with that victim attitude.
Loser's mentality, snowflake, the whole thing.
Well, I'm in California, so that fits too.
Yeah, you do fit in California. Everyone bitches about something, and it's just it's out of control, man. It just does not end.
Well, listen, if you go to the company party, I will be there.
You are going to show up.
Well, yeah, because I'll be here working. So while you are enjoying the lavish, extravagant spread of food and drink and prizes and giveaways, I'll be on the powerful Fox Sports Radio studio microphone. So, yeah.
Oh, well, maybe I'll stop by and give you a little doggy bag of hot dogs, a little mini hot dogs.
I'll take whatever I can get at this point.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I hear you. All right, moving on. And let's see what's next on the fifth hour here with Ben Maller and Gascon. Why don't we get to study this? This is where we determine, is this true or is this not true? And we try to answer really the polarizing questions that we will fix the time-space continuum is what we're going to do with this. And we look forward to it. But we'll do study this. These are actual studies by actual people. And let's get this party started. Let me just do a couple of things here over here. All right. Have you ever been hurt by your phone? There's a new study out that finds cell phone-related injuries are on the rise. Have you ever been injured by your phone, Gascon?
Never.
I actually have.
Oh.
And I think I'm like most people. I think I'm like most people when it comes to this, and I'll explain what happens. So when I'm going to sleep, I'm usually already ready to zonk out when I'm going to sleep, right? So I'll have the phone. I'll be laying in bed, and I'll have the phone in front of my face, right? And I will fall asleep sometimes, and the phone will whack me, like right in the nose or the forehead.
Yeah.
I consider that a phone-related injury.
Yeah.
Because it kind of zonks me a little bit there. How else could you injure yourself with your phone other than that? You know what I'm saying? Like
drop it on your foot?
Well, that's not going to... A phone doesn't weigh that much. It's not going to hurt your foot, is it?
No, but it's like anything else, like a bedpost or a door. Like if you just walk into it on accident, you don't suspect you're going to hit it, and it hits like a small toe or even a big toe that could be bruised, or the top of your foot. Just in a sweet spot.
Yeah. Nah, the only thing I've done, like I said, is the drop while you're sleeping. You know, you're falling asleep and you have the phone and you're like, oh, man, what the heck was that all about there? That's not cool. You know, whole thing has happened.
What if you're sitting down and you drop it and it falls on your nuts?
Well, you shouldn't have your phone like in that area there where it could hit your nuts, unless you got supersized nuts or something like that. What do you got?
Like, no, but
you know,
like
softball nuts. What are we doing here?
Well, if you're hosting your show and maybe you're taking a selfie or taking a picture of the other studio,
I don't take selfies.
Well, that's a lie. That is a lie. But let's say you did. And you had butterfingers and then you dropped it. It's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Weird things happen, Ben.
Nah, I don't think I'm right. All right, here's a new one. Speaking of phones, on that theme here, these are actual studies by actual universities. and businesses. Study finds that 13% of smartphone users are addicted. 13%. 62% complain of severe distraction that impacts their life from their phones. And they also, this is appropriate because they found that smartphones, this explains you a lot, Gascon, that smartphones encourage narcissism, even by non-narcissistic people.
No. Well, first of all, let me go on the record by saying that if you went to my Instagram page, I have hardly any pictures by myself. Any. Like, I don't take selfies. If I take pictures, it's usually with food or alcohol or a scenic shot when I go to Europe. I've taken some pictures with you, my colleagues that I call games with, or a stadium or an arena or an ice rink. I do those things with Instagram. So
I'm you realize that by saying you're not a narcissist, you sound like a narcissist.
No. That's like saying,
you do understand the way this sounds to the listener.
No. That's like saying, you know, I'm not a racist, but that's what that's saying. I don't say that. I'm not a narcissist. There's nothing a part of me that's like me. Like, listen to me for 4 hours, Monday through Friday, on an overnight show. Me. Like,
wow.
That would, well, I'm just using an example. Like, if I needed 4 hours to to talk to the world, you know. If I,
so, have you stopped beating your girlfriend, Giska?
Jim Rome, well played. That's a reference to David Stern and Jim Rome. That's really good.
All right. Thank you. Man, I'm here. I'll be here all day. All right. Moving on here. Three in four people believe natural remedies like cannabis are actually safer than traditional medicines, that like prescription medicine.
Yeah.
And this is now, this is because of, I think, a lot of media stuff. People have been abusing prescription drugs, but I think most of the time prescription modern medicine is better than old remedies. I do a lot of old remedy stuff with the garlic when I get sick and things like that. The natural remedies, I do dabble in that, but I still, when I'm really screwed up, I need the traditional medicine. I'm not going to some faith healer to try to get my bad thing out of my body. I'm going to a doctor to chop it out is what I'm doing. If you have a problem, throw it out. But most people these days, they're all about that cannabis or some other kind of hokey pokey quackery they find on the internet, and they buy into it. Like, that's why Doc Mike is so successful in Chicago. He's been a quack doctor for years, and people, especially in Ecuador, they buy into it. They love it.
I think not the cannabis method, but I think a lot of this has to do with diet and exercise. More so the diet, just because of what people put into their body and what they don't. We've talked about this a handful of times, like what we listen to while we're either in the gym or sitting in traffic. I listened to a doctor. His name is Dr. Michael Greger, and I put him on YouTube, and he's a nutritionist as well. And so he talks about how in the medical practice, the medical world, when people, men and women, go to medical school, they aren't taught much of anything, if at all, about the importance of nutrition. He says, like, I think it's like about an hour worth of curriculum that's put into nutrition. And everything else is about, like, fixing people, correcting injuries, like you said. But I think a lot of this just goes back to the nutritional aspect, that if you're putting crap in your body, you're going to get crap that comes out of it. And, of course, it's like a car, right? You put oil into it. You let the oil sit for 10 or 15,000 miles. You don't change it. All of a sudden, you got a bad engine block, and a car breaks down. So,
yeah.
I go with
that. Well, I would say, and I have some friends that work in the military, not military, in the medical industry. Got the gym that I go to, that one of the few people I talk to at the gym. And he's even said, he's agreed that it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, because it's the conspiracy is, if you teach people nutrition, you won't have as many sick people. You won't need as many doctors.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
And it's kind of like the argument, you know, you want to treat diseases but not cure them, because, you know, think how much money would be lost if they could find a cure for
cancer.
Now, the counter argument to that conspiracy is, well, yeah, but whoever found the cure to cancer would be, you know, would make so much money and win all these awards, and they'd name schools after them, and they'd, you know, they'd live on forever. That's the counter argument. And then the other argument is that, well, there'll always be, humans will always be some disease because we're fallible, that will come along. You know, when they cure one disease, something else comes along and all that stuff. And plus, the other thing with, like, cancer is there's, like, so many different versions of it. It's hard to say you can cure it. They have a cure for certain parts of cancer.
Right.
But I'm just using that as an example. But there's some that they have no clue how to stop.
Oh, yeah. So, and it's like buying a car or, put this in smaller form, like an Apple phone or a MacBook. You're usually buying one every 4 or 5 years, a MacBook Pro or yeah. a Mac or even an iPhone. I mean, people get a new cell phone almost every other year, and part of that's because of the battery on the phone or the charger or yeah. whatever it may be.
That's true. Or the technology. They stop. The industry, and they're brilliant, the people that make it's like they do the same thing in television. Technology, they know we got to keep selling TVs. So let's change the TVs every few years. We'll change the TVs. And the people like Apple, I have an iPhone. And I have to keep that thing charged 24/7 because the battery is so low.
Right.
Now, and I'm at the point, I've had this thing for so long where I could like get a new battery. It's only like $60, but I don't know that it's going to last that long. But I'm also at the point now where I'm like, well, I should just get a new phone because you know all these other phones are much better than mine. I have phone shaming when I pull my phone out. Pompous, arrogant a-holes are like, wow, you really must be poor because you have a shitty phone, you know. And I'm like, I don't think it's a shitty phone; it's a fine phone. But anyway, so that is legit. All right, moving on here. Some other studies. These are actual studies from actual people who do these kind of things. Here's a survey: what percentage of Americans do not trust other drivers on roads during the winter?
Wow. What percentage?
Yes, percentage of American drivers that do not trust the other drivers on the road driving in the winter when it's rainy and snowy and nasty and all that.
I'll say 65%.
That is a decent guess, but you are wrong. 91% of American drivers do not trust other drivers.
Now, do you think this comes into play with not only the weather, but the people that are driving being distracted because they're using said cell phones?
I don't know about that. I think, you know, that maybe is part of it, but I think just people, there's the weird thing when, and I've driven in bad weather, although we don't live in a place with really bad weather, but when I travel and drive in places where the weather's all screwed up, the problem is like certain percentage of people drive crazier, like they're kamikazes.
Yeah.
And then other people drive too slow, so you have this weird dichotomy where you have some people that are driving like they're on the Autobahn even though it's snowing, and then you have other people that are overly concerned about like black ice or something like that, and they're driving slow, and so it's it creates for a very odd and sluggish commute.
Have you ever driven down in Florida?
Yeah, I've been to Florida a few times over the years. Yeah.
I bring that up because last year I went to go visit my sister, and I drove from like the Tampa Bay area, and I drove down to Miami, and I drove through Alligator Alley.
Oh, I've done that. But yeah, I flew into Orlando and drove to Vero Beach, and then we drove down to Miami after that. Yeah.
Okay, so when I drove through Alligator Alley, I was in a rental car, like a little Honda, a little beat up Honda.
And yeah. How many tickets did you get?
I didn't get any, but Ben,
really?
I kid you not, it was dumping so hard when it was sunny for majority of the day that I had to stop and pull over on the shoulder because my windshield wipers could not push the water off the windshield. And I'm in a vehicle that doesn't handle well. It was old. It was like late 90s. And this thing was barely, the windshield wipers were barely moving. So I could not even justify driving at the speed limit, which was 65 or 70 miles per hour. I had to tone that thing down and pull over on the shoulder for a few minutes. And there were cars just, you know, blazing on by, and I couldn't do anything about it just because I'd never been in that kind of an environment before. I also drove in snow in Springfield, Missouri, and that was pretty challenging too just because I'd never driven in those kind of conditions. If you're a newbie in that kind of environment, yeah, you got to tread lightly, no pun intended.
Yeah, well, I had something along those lines back in Buffalo. I was leaving a Bills game in the Great Lakes up there in Buffalo, and driving along on the New York Expressway going down to New York City, and it was nighttime. It was like the Bills had played a game. They played the Titans. It was actually a night game.
Yeah.
Go figure, a long time ago. and we're driving, and it rained so much, the cars in front of me stopped on the middle of the New York Expressway, and so I had to stop. It was, I don't know, I was from the lake or whatever, but it was insanity. It was absolute insanity there. I have never seen as much rain as I did. That it was like I felt like I was driving through a hurricane. You know, it was absolutely nuts, is what it was. But that was my worst rain experience was in beautiful Buffalo, from maybe the weather from Lake Ontario and Lake Erie got together or something like that. Right, they all formed a superstorm, that lake effect rain or whatever. It was wild, though.
That's pretty good. How long did it take you to get to your destination?
That's a long drive. Well, funny, we tried that. We'll have to tell a story sometime because I spent a night homeless in Buffalo, and that's part of the reason that we drove in the middle of the night to New York City.
So that was
a slight mistake by me, involving hotels and apps and phones and the fact that you can't book a room and there's after a certain time, and it was a big mess. I don't have time to get into it right now.
You brought up the Autobahn. I did drive that 2 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of fun. I made it.
How fast did you go on the Autobahn?
I went about 65. My friend was scared shitless because he rented the car or van, and we were going. It was a bachelor party / wedding, so we were actually going from Berlin and making a trip down to Auschwitz and Birkenau to go to the concentration camp.
What are the rules here on the Autobahn? Like, because are there any rules? I mean, you can drive however fast you want, but what happens to the slow people?
No, they just get passed them by. It's nothing like you'd experience here in Los Angeles. Like, if we're on the 405 freeway going north or south, there's usually four lanes and maybe a carpool. Or if we go on the 91 or the 10, which goes east and west, there's about three or four lanes. Autobahn was like 10 lanes going, one side and the other, and just open real estate. Plenty of green. It was actually beautiful to drive. But yeah, sometimes when cars are going slow, they get all the way over to the right and they'll sit behind trucks and they just go at their own speeds. That's pretty much it. But yeah, you can blow by anybody. There's a couple tolls. That's pretty much it. But got to have enough change for the tolls, and that's pretty much it. You don't have any stops, though, so there's no off-ramps or kind of pit stops you can make to go take a leak or to get something to eat.
Wow. All right. Yeah. There you go. I've always talked about the Autobahn, but I've never been. I probably will never go to the Autobahn. I don't believe I will ever be doing that. All right, here we go. Study finds that we now know, at least according to these people that do the study, they believe they know, who's to blame for fake news.
Who's to blame for fake news?
According to researchers from Ohio State University, they say that much fake news is created by people people consuming news, Gaskar.
Oh, all right. I'll just say social media, so that's kind of close.
No, check this out. They've determined that a lot of people get credible, legitimate statistics and information in the news on a topic like something involving Trump or something like that, and they misremember it's like that game Telephone.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing. The message gets twisted as you pass the message to more people, and that people also mix in their biases, their personal biases, whether they're Republicans or Democrats. And then so it creates this superstorm where they get legitimate information and then they twist it and morph it into fake news to fit their agenda.
Yeah, it's like if you and I witnessed a crime or an accident and we had a police officer interview both of us. He's not going to get the same answer from both of us because we are seeing it through a different lens. And so that's the same thing, the interpretation of what people are looking at. I was reading yesterday that only a third of Americans are actually watching the impeachment inquiry. It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, I've checked it out. I've watched it, but I get a kick out of it. I like the political thing. It doesn't like raise my blood pressure. A lot of people are like, I can't handle it. In fact, here's a study. Eight out of 10 Americans say politics are the biggest source of stress in their life. And I'm not stressed at all.
Yeah.
I think both parties are all fucked up. And then You know, I get a kick out of it. I actually enjoy the people that are triggered by Trump. I think it's pretty funny. I think it's amusing, and they, you know, they think the world's going to come to an end and all that stuff. No, the world's not going to come to an end. Even if Trump gets reelected in 2020, there'll be a new president soon enough. Don't worry. And if you want them to change everything, they'll change everything, and then that'll be fine.
Would you ever move to Canada if a president got elected that you didn't want elected?
No, of course not. I'm moving to Canada, please. Are you kidding me? I'll move to a tropical destination instead of Canada. What are you talking about? All right, time now for grab bag. Actual questions from actual listeners like yourself. First one comes from, let's do a sporty question, from Brandon in Bon Aqua, Tennessee. I've never heard of that. Is that a real place? I don't know. Which do you think between the Braves and the Buffalo Bills of the 1990s, the greatest team to underachieve during their prime years? So Buffalo, four straight Super Bowls, or the Atlanta Braves, who were the team of the 90s but only won one World Series. Now, the easy answer would be to say Buffalo, because Buffalo, Brandon, didn't win the Super Bowl with Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas and Andre Reed. But I'm going to go with Atlanta. Atlanta had three Hall of Fame pitchers. They had Hall of Fame position players. And they only won one World Series. And the reason I bring up Atlanta, and it bothers me, is because the guy that, one of the architects of the Atlanta Braves in the 1990s was a guy named Stan Kasten. He is now an executive with the Dodgers.
Oh, boy.
And he is trying to recreate the 1990s Atlanta Braves. And it bothers the hell out of me. That's the Dodger model. The Dodger model is to be like the Braves. They want to be in the playoffs every year. They think that, you know, and they have this weird thing that the mindset over there is that we're going to be like the 1990s Atlanta Braves, but unlike them, we're going to win multiple World Series. Well, so far, Gascon, how's that working out?
Zero. And yeah. I will agree with you on that, too. You talk about Maddox. You talk about Smoltz. I mean, two of the best pitchers in our lifetime.
Yeah,
to
Glavin.
Come short. And Tom Glavin, yeah, the former hockey player turned baseball player. I mean, those are dominant guys. Smoltz was a starter, a closer, and then a starter again. And you forgot to mention Bobby Cox. So you had...
Well, Bobby Cox, the manager, yeah.
Bon Aqua, population 5,444 in Tennessee. So
look at that, Brandon. Bon Aqua,
that's
Tennessee.
But
who's the most famous person from Bon Aqua, Tennessee? It could be Brandon.
It could be Brandon.
Might be the most famous person from Bon Aqua, Tennessee.
Well, that is certainly your Maller Militia throwback, right? That's the only person that's from Bon Aqua.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever gotten a correspondence. What part of Tennessee is that in? That must be out in the sticks, right?
Yeah,
must be out. You don't know. You don't know your Tennessee geography.
I'm looking at the map.
Yeah,
it's actually considered inside Hickman County, if you know what Hickman County is.
That doesn't do anything for me. Although I'm reading here, I just typed something into the internet. It says country music legend Johnny Cash.
Oh, that's low-hanging fruit. Come on.
What? What?
He the first thing that shows up on Google.
He used to... Well, what, am I supposed to go seven pages in? I mean, we don't have time for that. But Johnny Cash used to own a Weems old farmhouse for over three decades, and the Storytellers Museum was converted from a general store and recording studio that Johnny Cash used as a place for local concerts.
How about that?
That's a landmark in Bon Aqua. I love Johnny Cash. So look at that. There's a connection. I'm connected to Brandon, who's living around where Johnny Cash did his stuff. How cool is that?
Very cool.
All right. Emmanuel from Portugal writes, and he's the big Jonas Knox guy. He says, should I leave everything behind in Portugal and live in the United States?
Whereabouts in Portugal?
He doesn't say. List Portugal as his destination.
I went to Porto, Portugal in the summertime, Ben. It was gorgeous.
Look at you bragging.
It's on the northwest tip of Portugal.
Uh-huh.
Did some kayaking there, some cliff diving, ate a bunch of food, drank a ton of beer. People were nice there. Definitely different than here in Los Angeles. It is a great spot.
Well, here's what I would say, Emmanuel. There's a lot of different places in the United States to live, and it really depends on if you want elitist Hollywood assholes, you can live in Los Angeles. If you want pompous Wall Street dicks, you can live in New York. If you want nice, normal people, live in the flyover country. That's where most of those people are living.
Yeah.
And, you know, on the coast is where the assholes and elitists like Gascon live. But if you want, you know, regular folks, you got to go inland. But, Portugal, I've never been to Portugal, but I've heard it's nice there. And that's a tough call, man, because all your family's there and all your friends are there. You're going to be homesick and all that. I'd give it a shot, though. I don't know how old Emmanuel is, but, you know, give it a shot for a couple years if you can pull it off.
Yeah. And, if you can afford it, that's the one thing that people come from the East Coast to the West Coast and they never want to leave Los Angeles. But there are a lot of people that migrate from Chicago or Kansas City or St. Louis, and believe it or not, they relocate to Scottsdale, Arizona. And Scottsdale, they call that like the poor man's version of Newport Beach. But Scottsdale is a great city in Arizona. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of beautiful people there. The weather gets obviously a lot hotter during the summertime, triple digits. But there's things to do. And so, yeah, depending on your age, like you said, Ben, that might be a spot to relocate to as well.
Well, Scottsdale and Vegas are like to, you know how New York has like Miami-Dade County in Miami, where like you, when you get to a certain age in New York, you relocate to Florida.
Yeah.
And it's the other borough of New York City. And then a lot of people of L.A., although they've been going all over. It used to be Seattle was the hot spot for people from L.A.
Yeah.
Then it moved. It was Portland for a while. And I think Phoenix is still popular, and Vegas, Idaho, Boise, Idaho. A lot of people were moving to Boise, Idaho.
Yeah, we get a lot of California people that move to Boise, Idaho now just because of the taxes. Like, you don't want to get crushed on state taxes here in California. You know, gas is usually $1 to $1.50 more here in Cali compared to, like, Texas or Florida, Midwest somewhere.
Yeah, it's not like you get a lot of benefits out of that. The roads are still fucked up, and there's homeless people everywhere, you know. And I feel bad for the homeless people, but I'm thinking, like, all the money we pay for taxes, shouldn't they be able to solve the problem?
Yeah.
But it's not. I mean, it's one of those things, too. The other problem is it's a problem that creates another problem, right? You solve one problem, and then you create another problem because they've decided not to go. That's the third rail, my man. But they've just talked about building all this housing in Los Angeles for the homeless.
Yeah.
But what do you think that's going to do? That the word's going to get out, Gascon, and every other homeless person is going to be like, you know what? I'm moving to L.A. because I'll get a house.
Yeah, it perpetuates the problem. That's exactly what it does.
Exactly. All right, moving on here. Let's see here. John the Jailer from Allentown, Pennsylvania says, Ben, are you pro or anti-pigeons wearing little cowboy hats? Yeah, have you seen that, Gascon?
No,
have you
what is that?
In Vegas, this is amazing. I want to know how they pull this off. Now, every time I get near a pigeon, you know what they do? They fly away or they walk away.
Yeah.
But somebody has been putting these little tiny cowboy hats on pigeons around Vegas, and the animal rights people are freaking out. They're like, "How? And we got to get these things off." It's so. Listen, he says you shouldn't do it, but it's hilarious. To see the little pigeons walking around, you know, fat pigeon with a hat on, like a cowboy hat. Pretty good. You'd admit that, right, Gus?
Absolutely, 1,000%.
All right, who's next? Travis in Roseburg, Oregon says, is Roberto's Mexican Doppler actually just a dartboard? Yes. Yes, it is. Tommy Lee in Lothian, Maryland writes in, says, a question for everyone. Casket or urn? All right, yeah. So are they going to burn you up or are they going to bury your ass in the ground? I'm a casket guy because I come from a family who believes in burials. My wife's an urn woman. She's about the urn. But I guess I'll be surprised because I won't really know because I'll be dead. But I believe I will end up in a casket. I believe maybe they'll put a bell in there in case I wake up and then I can alert someone to come let me out, you know.
What if I'm there for it and I drop you in the ocean in your casket?
Well, yeah, you could do that too, you know. Burial at sea there, I can be fish food. So you can do that. Rigo, by the way, what are you doing, guys? I think you're an urn guy.
No, I'm probably a coffin guy.
Coffin guy?
Yeah. Just in case I can wake up.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. You know, I have this beautiful body. Why would I want to burn it up? You know, I'd rather let it rot, which is the traditional way to go. Rigo from the Harbor area says, there hasn't been a fried chicken debate for a while. Where does Popeye's chicken sandwich rank? On my list, it's number one, but also I haven't had Raising Cane's yet. Well, Rigo, you've got to correct that problem. You've got to find a Raising Cane's because you're really uneducated on this. Now, I have not had the Popeye's chicken sandwich yet, so I'm uneducated on it. And I've tried to cut back a little bit on the fried food since they chopped my gallbladder out of me. But I will partake in the, The Popeye's chicken sandwich looks very good. Eddie's had it, says it's a solid sandwich. He really enjoys it a lot. But I've not had it yet. I'm all about that Raising Cane's action. So, and I know Gascon doesn't eat any of that, so I can't even ask you.
Man, I'm down for KFC. I haven't had Raising Cane's. I do like Chick-fil-A, but I'm all about fried food, man. What are you talking about? I'm a fat guy trapped in a fat guy's body.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so. I love fried food.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't? This is the greatest. You put anything in a deep fryer, it tastes good, man.
Yeah, it's true.
Put they should deep fry vegetables. I'd eat those.
I've had some deep fried cauliflower before.
Yeah, cauliflower smells so disgusting that I'm turned off by. My wife would make used to make massive amounts of cauliflower, and I'd be like, "What died in the house? Like, why does something you're cooking a dead animal here or something like that?" No, Jose from repping the 956 area code says, does Gascon use regular 89 gas or 91 Supreme?
Yeah, I'm not an idiot. I use 89.
Yeah, thank you. This debate I've had with the Coupe de Loop and some of these other idiots that text in here about this is insane. 99% of cars do not need the higher grade gasoline. It is all a scam. I've had people that work in the fuel industry that have told me this, that there's hardly any difference. Sometimes there's no difference between the 89 and 91. It's all a scam to get you to pay a little bit extra for pretty much the same damn product. And people are dumb. And I give people credit in the gas industry because they know human nature. People think if something is, they're charging more for a product that it's better.
Yeah.
Right, it's like the reason people don't buy their wrapping paper at the 99-cent store or Dollar General or the Dollar Tree. A lot of people buy their wrapping paper at like Target or one of those other stores. They charge more for the same damn thing, but they think they're getting. It's this mental thing where we think we're getting a better product if they charge more. And I've studied marketing a little bit. I know a little bit about marketing just from books I've read and things on the internet. And gasoline's the same thing. Most cars, it's a complete waste of money. But yet people buy the more expensive gas because they think well, you're getting a better product when they're not. So,
would you ever drive a car, I guess those economy efficient, I don't know, the smart cars, like a Tesla, right? Like those cars?
I had an electric car for a little bit. It died. I had to get rid of it. It was a lemon.
Oh.
Yeah, I had a gas electric where you could plug it in.
Yeah.
In fact, if you come to the house, I have a electric plug-in. But the car was a lemon, and we didn't get. I got a hybrid now. I don't have a gas electric. I would love to get an electric car. I would love to get a Tesla. I can't afford a Tesla, and also I don't know how. I don't know if I can trust it. I don't know how long they last. I want to. If I spend money on a car, I don't think I'll ever get a new car again. By the way, I think that's a scam. I learned way too late that you should not get a scam. Or should not be part of a scam, I mean, and get a new car. I think you get a pre-owned car is the way to go.
Yeah.
Lightly used pre-owned car. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I might have to come around to that in a year or two. I'm over 150,000 miles on a five-year car, so.
Yeah, I hear you. Apparently someone's spying on the podcast here. Let's see, what's next here? Let's see, page down. Dan, we got a bunch of email about you. Dan in Kalamazoo, Michigan says, how much cocaine does Gagon do every weekend? Gascon, you want to comment on that?
I don't think I have enough energy to sound like I'm doing cocaine.
Coley is in Round Rock, Texas, home of the Express. He says, which Rodney Dangerfield movie character do you, Ben, most likely resemble? Gascon probably never watched a Dangerfield movie in his life. He prefers Streisand movies. He's such a yentl.
Caddyshack for sure. I don't think I've ever watched a movie with Barbara Streisand in it.
Yeah.
I don't think so. But Rodney Dangerfield, I think, can you name off any, I mean, outside of Caddyshack, what other movies come to mind for you?
Well, the one he made at the end, you know, back to school, goes back, remember, school and all that. That was one of his final big hits, right?
I think. Yeah.
Back in the 80s, I guess that was, because he didn't. I was in an elevator with Rodney Dangerfield in Burbank.
Boy. Here we go.
What do you?
Yeah, this is like you with Steve Harvey. Like, I was in a parking lot one time with
Steve
Harvey.
No.
Yeah, because you guys worked together. That's why.
Well, no, I worked at 3400 Riverside Drive, which is now all Warner Brothers. It used to have one. We had radio stations there, the Clear Channel radio stations, like Kiss FM and Kiss AM were in that building. And that's where I worked for about eight, 9 years back in the late 90s, early 2000s. I worked there for a while. Anyway, I get in the elevator. It's kind of like midday, and I look over, and Rodney fucking Dangerfield is standing next to me in the elevator. And I'm like, holy fuck, you know, this is an amazing thing, you know. I mean, this is a legend, Rodney Dangerfield and all that stuff, and. You know, it was only a couple years before he died, but I guess he had his agency had been in that. I found out later his agency was in that building with some of his representation. Mm. But I'm still upset. I should have said something to him, and I had like stage fright, and I didn't say anything to him. And I was like, that's my only shot. You know, I'm ready. I was in an elevator with Spike Lee one time.
Ooh.
And this is great. So Spike Lee. This is back when Pete Carroll was coaching USC, and they had all the stars, you know. There was a big event in L.A., and I get in at the Coliseum, there was one elevator to go up to the press box, and I get in the elevator, and it's me, Rick Fox, and Spike Lee, right? And Spike Lee, I am about seven times the size of Spike Lee, right? And he looked at me and looked like he was like kind of intimidated. But I got this kind of weird vibe from Spike Lee that is like, this guy could kick my ass in this elevator, you know, when the doors close and all that stuff. It was weird.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and didn't say anything to them either. I think I might have said hello or something like that, but it was like a brief kind of. It was awkward because I think Spike expected to be in the elevator by himself with just him and Rick Fox, and then I got in, and it kind of effed up the whole thing, you know?
Maybe they were looking at your attire, because they were probably dressed the nines, and you're probably dressed like a common man, right?
Well, no, when I used to go to those games, I had a decent outfit on. It was fine.
Oh, I was in an elevator once with Jerry Bruckheimer.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, we were going from bottom floor all the way up to the top at Staples Center. It was a Kings game. Jerry Bruckheimer is a huge hockey fan, so it was during the Stanley Cup playoffs a few years ago. I knew exactly who he was, and we had a great conversation for like 10 minutes as people were coming on and coming off and just talking the shit and talking about the Kings and talking about hockey in general. Totally nice guy, like just easy to talk to. Of course, it always helps when you try to engage in a conversation as opposed to standing in a corner and measuring people up. They're like a fraction of your size, but
that's true. I mean, I had well, I've told my Adam Sandler, he walked into me because he showed up to a Staples Center. It was a Knicks game, Knicks Lakers, and I'm walking to my seat, and this guy with his head down, head first, walks into me because Adam Sandler. I give him credit because he didn't come in through the usual celebrity entrance to Staples Center. He came in through the regular entrance where the normal people come in.
Yeah.
But then he, for some reason, thought maybe if I just keep my head down, they won't realize, you know, it's Adam Sandler. He had a hat on, like a Jets hat on or something like that. And he walked right into me because he didn't want anyone to see his face. So he had his head down. And he wasn't even on his phone or anything like that. He just had his head down. And
All right.
I don't know what other celebrities I've walked into. A few more questions for you here. We'll put the baby to bed. Let's see here. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Brian from Northbridge, Massachusetts. Beautiful Northbridge, Massachusetts. God's country. Says, how does Gascon still have a job? Whose desk is he under? He says he's the guy also that outed Real Talk as John from Mizzou. So that's Brian's good work there on the show. So, Gascon, how do you still have a job?
Well, a couple of things. Got a powerful voice, a little bit better than yours.
Here we go.
I'm half your age, which obviously helps in this industry. I have an excellent work ethic. So if I was like a Madden card with rankings and ratings, you'd have work ethic as a 99 graded out, grit as a 95. I'm a huge sports fan, student of the game.
Don't forget, douchebag 100.
No. No one's ever called me a douchebag. And you can't get 100 rating on any of these video games, dummy.
Obnoxious 99.
Well, whatever.
Narcissistic, that is 100.
Listen.
Pretends to be Superman.
Well, we all
not.
Do at certain times of the day, so it all depends.
Yeah, when he pretends to be Superman, but when things don't go his way, he's a sniveling little child.
To be fair, though, like you told me a few weeks ago, I do make you feel young again because I have revitalized your faith.
I have never said that. That's
bullshit.
A
we
that
talked about
lie.
This to open up never, this podcast because you've wanted to do this for years.
I've never.
You couldn't.
Well,
trust
yeah,
I could have
done it with a mouse. You know, I could have done it with or a raccoon or something.
I'll remember that next week.
Yeah. All right. Why don't we move on? Don't stick to sports stories of the week. What do we have here, Gascon, this week in the Don't Stick to Sports Stories of the Week?
Well, I got all kinds of things going on. How about this? Well,
all right.
Go back to your personal life then real quick. How did you propose to the missus?
I proposed to her at the right in downtown Los Angeles, actually. We were outside a famous theater in L.A. on Hope Street.
Ah, okay.
And I got down on my knee there and made the big proposal. Then we went out to the Stinking Rose, the great garlic restaurant, and had a nice meal. And the rest is history.
Well, okay, so you did that and then got married in Hawaii, right?
Yes, we got married in Kauai, the Garden Island, on Poipu.
Nice.
When you go to the airport in Poipu and you drive north in Kauai on the one highway they have there in Kauai,
yeah,
between the mile 3 and mile 4 marker, there's a small dirt road. You take that dirt road, and you'll need to have your car aligned if your car makes it. A lot of potholes and bumps and whatnot. And then you go to the end of it, and there's this deserted stretch of beach.
Nice.
And that is where I got married.
That's romantic. Right there. Well, I bring that up because this is like, if your mirror side is great, but how about this? An East Coaster, a guy in Erie County, New York, actually staged a proposal to his girlfriend by staging an actual robbery inside of a convenience store. Security footage actually captured the entire event where a man appears to be robbing the convenience store with a gun before leaving and then coming back in. He follows the store clerk and then gets down in front of his girlfriend, who was there with him, and gets down on bended knee and proposes to her, all on camera. Security footage, though.
Yeah. Well, that's good for the woman because she knows what the marriage is going to be like in the future. Jeez. You know what I'm saying? Like, if things go bad, he's going to start robbing banks. Right?
Oh.
He'll choreograph everything. He'll line everything up. That's how that goes.
We mentioned parking earlier. How about this?
Yes.
A third of hospitals in England right now put up car parking charges last year, totaling over 254 million euro. So you compute that into U.S. dollars, but €254 million for parking fees.
From people going to see sick people at hospitals.
Yes.
Them, right?
Patients, visitors. Oh.
Well, that's kind of like the thing here. You Gascon, like Caesars,
no,
right?
No.
You do.
I know you're going to go with this. No, I don't do this.
Well, no, I'm just saying. They have, like, valet parking, and they have paid. Like, I like hospital. You shouldn't have to pay for parking in a hospital. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we get. So there's valet parking at hospitals here and also at malls. Like
there was a 99-cent store when I lived in mid-city L.A. I lived near the Grove for years before actually the Grove was there, and then a couple years after they built the Grove. But I lived in an apartment over there, and there was a 99-cent store that in the afternoon, hand to God, had valet parking. I don't understand why you would need valet parking to go to a 99-cent store. And that was like the only store that was in that area. And they had guys with red valet vests that would park the cars. I mean, like, what are you doing? You know, you're in a goddamn 99-cent store. You do not need the valet park. Anyway, so that's right. The whole parking thing is a night. I hate paying for parking. I would rather walk 5 miles than pay for parking.
Yeah, you and me both. We go from cars to insects. How about this, Ben? Researchers in Mexico have identified a new species of spider. Which I kid you not, the venom inside the spider is capable of rotting human flesh. Have you ever been bitten by a spider?
Yes, I have been bitten by a spider.
Like a bad bite. Like I'm talking about something that's like the size of like a, I don't know, like a thumbnail or like a knuckle or something like that.
No, I mean, it was never that bad. I mean, we have spiders that, you know, everyone's got spiders. I don't know how you get rid of spiders. And there's, I happen to live in an area with a lot of trees around here, so there's a lot more bugs and all that, critters and things like that. But, yeah, no, I don't have any terrible spider bite. We have brown recluse spiders around here. Those are pretty bad.
What color are they? Are they like black? Are they brown at all? Or
no, they're like brown. I think they're crawling around here. You see them? I'll show you some when you come over.
Yeah, please.
Maybe one will bite you.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want to have.
So they just determined they this sounds weird to me. Like this, they just found out there's a spider that rots human flesh.
Yeah, it won't kill you. The venom itself will not kill you, but it will leave a scar. So at least you get the little up and up. So
it's a good story to tell. You know.
Wow, I'm going to go from parking to that. There was another story I wanted to get into, but got to be brief on it since, it's no longer with us anymore since it was taken down. But did you hear about a man who his farts are so deadly he actually kills mosquitoes within a 6-meter radius?
Yeah, I believe that to be bullshit. I don't think that's a real story. You think that's a legitimate story?
I do not, no.
I don't. I mean, it's a funny story, and I saw the story, but that has to be like parody. I think the reason that story was deleted was because that story is not true. That's my theory on that. But it is a hilarious headline that a man's fart is so deadly that he would kill mosquitoes. And I think the story said that they claimed that people were trying to package. They were studying his fart, but it came from the Sun in the UK. Gone with the Wind was the headline, and the man whose deadly farts can kill mosquitoes hired to create mosquito repellent made from his intestinal gas. But, I don't buy it. I think it's fake. I don't have a photo of the guy. He's a 48-year-old guy from Uganda.
Yeah.
In Africa. And he wears the same hat I wear. So, seems like a good-looking chap.
There. That's not bad. That's not bad.
Yeah, why not? All right.
That is it for now. We got,
all right.
I know you got plenty of things to dip into tonight, so we'll stay away from the NFL stuff. But, I know that you're not one to pat yourself on the back, so I will pat you on the back for we eclipsed 6 figures podcasting downloads.
Nice.
We started this journey end of September, beginning of October.
Yeah.
And we published so far.
Week one of the football season, so 15 weeks of, this is week 15 here,
that's
so 14
right.
weeks.
Yeah. So we're past 6 digits, so we got to thank everyone that's been listening, downloading, commenting, saying nice things about you and bad things about me.
Yeah.
And still participating because it's important to keep that kind of momentum as we head into 2020, because I know as you schmooze at the company event, you got some things on your block that need to be taken off of it. One includes sponsored reads on a podcast.
I know. I would love to do commercial reads on this. I think I'm pretty good at commercial reads, and I love our sponsors. This is advertising. We're in the advertising business, and why not spread the gospel about great products that we can sell? So it's been a good run. I mean, we're not over yet. We're going to keep doing the podcast, I guess, although I'm taking some time off. Maybe I'll still do the podcast. I mean, I'll probably still do it. I'll likely still do it. I have some studio changes that are coming, too, also, guest.
I heard.
Remote studio is changing a lot.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, last week's podcast, you have thousands of dollars worth of equipment inside your studio, and I was dealing with a small handheld camcorder and a small microphone and a MacBook to record last week's edition, or 2 weeks ago. So
that's not true.
That's the ivory towers, the Ben Maller private studio.
Well, you live in a fishbowl, and you like your microphones are actually a Mr. microphone and a baby monitor. You have those two things, and so anyway, all right, well, we'll put the baby to bed. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the football this weekend. We'll be back on the – and try the other podcast, which is just a hard-o football podcast, picking NFL games. And tell a friend about this. Tell a friend. We got, if one person, one of your friends listens, and everyone does that, we double our audience. on the podcast. Just have them subscribe. I always tell, you know, we used to do this on the radio where if you have, like, elderly grandparents or whatever, and just have them, or your parents are a little older, get their smartphone and subscribe for them, and we get credit for that. It's that simple as that. Even if they don't listen all the time, we still get credit for it. All right, have a great weekend. We'll be back on the radio in the Magic Radio Box Sunday night into Monday, 11 p.m. in the West on Sunday, 2 a.m. in the East, and we'll catch you next time.